The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So the topic for this evening is refuge. Someone wrote in a question about refuge, asking about would I elaborate some on the concept and meaning of refuge? And it feels like an appropriate topic for New Year's Eve to me. You know, we are leaving behind a year where the feeling of impermanent and unreliable got really obvious to all of us, I think. And so, you know, this is perhaps some of what we're hoping for the new year, that there'll be a little more safety, a little less chaos, perhaps. And yet the teaching of refuge is really pointing to a different kind of security or safety. So that's the topic for this evening, to explore what is this Buddhist understanding of safety, of refuge. The traditional stating of the refuges in the Buddhist tradition is that we take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. But it might be useful to stop and reflect a little bit first about what a refuge is and why we want refuge, and whether there's a different kind of refuge than our habitual or usual way of navigating it. So refuge, I think, in the usual English language sense, means a place that's a protection from danger. It might be, you know, the seeking of that place, but it usually seems to be understood as a noun, something that is a place of safety, and perhaps a place of seclusion as well. You know, that often when we think about refuge, we think about a place that is kind of maybe walled in or closed off or kind of protected from the vagaries of the world. In the Buddhist understanding, there's a more there's a different understanding of what refuge is, and that what we are, you know, so what do we seek refuge from, first of all, is an interesting question. And, you know, how do we usually seek refuge? We usually think of seeking refuge from danger and uncertainty or fear. You know, if there's situations where we're in danger or we have fear, we want a place where we can go where we could be secure or safe. But the understanding in the Buddhist sense is that the safety that we can find that is more reliable, because the usual ways that we look for safety, we're basically you know, looking for safety in our familiar ways, looking for some place where we can have a stability, where we can have reliability. Think, just reflect even, like, what is it that we take refuge in usually? What is it that we think will offer us security? What is it that we think will offer us safety? This is a useful question to think about And then to reflect, is that place or that thing that we are holding to or looking for? And usually it is a holding to. It is a kind of thinking that there's some place that's going to be stable, that will be kind of a place I can land, a reliable place. And that might be finances. It might be a home. It might be a relationship. It might be a job. It might be health. It might be many things. And the, you know, that looking for that, you know, it's like, if we find a job that feels like a good sense of safety or security, well, you know, this year we've seen a number of jobs just vanish. Things that we wouldn't have necessarily expected to go away. Whole industries kind of being decimated. And so these things that we typically think of as refuges or as reliable, when we look at them and with this question, is it actually reliable? We often will find the answer is no, it's not. And so the Buddhist question, the question the Buddha asked himself was, is there some kind of reliable place or refuge or something that can allow human beings to not suffer? Is that possible? And he did. The answer for himself was, yes, it is possible, but it is not found in the usual way. It's so different than our usual exploration or our usual sense of what refuge is, that it bears kind of a looking at what this refuge actually is, that's a place of safety. But it's not a place. It's more of an understanding. It's more of a recognition or an alignment. I like this sense that the refuge is alignment with things as they are. Alignment with the truths that experience is impermanent and unreliable. That alignment creates a when we can kind of land in that place where our heart is not resisting that this is the truth. And that's really, I'd say, what the landing in the refuge is, the experience of that refuge. When we align, when we're, there is that alignment and we are not resisting that this is the way things are, that there isn't a place to land forever and that everything will be great. When we align with that, there's a kind of a letting go and a release and an ease and a peace of acceptance that this is the way things are. Reactivity falls away. And so we find a refuge that is not something that's stable, but more of a alignment with changing nature. It's like, you know, if you're trying to stand on quicksand or something, you know, it's like you're just going to keep slipping. But that slipping, that's the nature of quicksand. It's like that's the kind of flavor of this refuge. It's not something that's like, you know, like cement that we're landing on. It's this understanding that leads to a kind of a heart opening and a the experience of equanimity, of compassion, of love. And so this understanding, this alignment with the truth, with the, to me, this is the refuge, the actual refuge, this alignment with this truth. It creates a kind of an emotional resonance that has this feeling of love, of contentment, of peace, of security, of safety. And it's so counterintuitive. It's so counterintuitive. So the world is inherently not a reliable place. It's unstable. Our bodies get old, they get sick, they die. Our friends will age, possessions disappear, jobs get lost, homes burn down. We had all of it this year. All of these things happening. Another way to think about the refuge is that when the mind aligns with this truth and there's not that reactivity, we experience the refuge of not having the mind that is reactive. We experience the refuge of the absence of greed and aversion and delusion. Those qualities of mind that create so much tension and stress and suffering in our experience. That is what we become safe from. We become safe from our own minds, from the way our own minds tie us up into knots. We don't become safe from the aging, sickness, and death. You know, that those things will keep happening. But the mind has an ease and a balance to it, or can have that ease and balance to it, that is that place of refuge. So finding this, actually finding our way to the refuge of aligning with the truth of things as they are, this is not easy. We resist this. First of all, we habitually kind of see through a perspective that denies that things are impermanent and unreliable, right? Right from the beginning, we kind of deny that. And so we kind of have to open our hearts to recognize, well, actually, that perspective is not so accurate. So how do we do this, though? I mean, this is not easy. And certainly, when I first met Buddhist practice, I didn't really understand in some ways what I was stepping into. I did see, and this is part of how the practice works and how the refuge unfolds, I did see that as I started to be aware of experience, that there were moments of relief that didn't seem connected to the external conditions. And that was different. That was useful. That was kind of a little bit of a, maybe there's something else here. And that's a little hint. That's a little bit of a, the possibility points itself out to us that there's something different here. And that was definitely the case for me in meeting the practice and in beginning to be aware of my body and mind and notice what's going on. It's like, oh, this is different. This creates different happiness. This makes the mind that the letting go, when I, as I saw the letting go of reactivity, it's like, wow, I didn't even know that was possible, that I could let go of anger, that anger could let go. I didn't let it go, that anger could let go. And so that kind of led to some confidence for me, confidence in the practice, confidence in what the Buddha taught. And so this is where it begins, this confidence, this faith, essentially. Faith of the practice, faith in what the Buddha taught, and faith in my teachers, really. These three aspects, which are essentially representative of the three aspects of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. That kind of the traditional description of refuge. We go for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. I don't think of these, and there are descriptions in some texts that they're not really separate refuges. They're really kind of three aspects of one refuge. The refuge in the Buddha, now there's the being, the person, the Buddha. But I think that the real, the true refuge in the Buddha is, has to do, at least for me, the sense is that he figured this out, right? He didn't have somebody helping him. And he kind of followed his mind and the peace that was the transformative peace was this power of waking up, the power of being aware of the experience in the present moment. And this is a human capacity. We all have this human capacity, whether or not it's come to fulfillment or fruition or not, it's there in us. And the Buddha kind of represents the culmination or the fulfillment of that possibility. As a human being, he fulfilled that possibility. The word Buddha, even, the word Buddha wasn't his name. It means awake. And so taking refuge in the Buddha, to me, is really taking refuge in our capacity to be awake. In my practice, at times, this aspect has been, the feeling of taking refuge in that has been alive in the practice. The sense of, you know, kind of like, I remember one time I was really struggling with a lot of challenge being mindful. It's like, I felt like I couldn't do it very well. I was losing a lot of mindfulness. The mindfulness wasn't very continuous. And I would take a step and I'd feel the sensation of my foot on the ground. It'd be like, wow, I'm not doing that. That's just happening. And there was that sense of the capacity to be aware was not my doing. It was just a part of this human being, and that could support me. That capacity was available. And there was a kind of an inspiration and a lightness that happened along with that sense or that connection to, oh, this is a capacity. This is a natural part of this body and mind as a human being, that it has this capacity to be aware of what's happening in the present moment. It's not my job to make that happen. In some ways, it's kind of the practice to notice when it's here. And so the refuge in the Buddha, to me, is kind of what, you know, kind of the refuge in our capacity, the possibility of waking up. To me, that's what the Buddha represents, that possibility. As a human being, he was a human being, and he found this path and woke up. So it's that pointing to that possibility. And then the Dharma, different ways the refuge in the Dharma can be understood. And one of them is And you know, in a way, it's kind of like the refuge deepens over time. And early on, I think I definitely had the feeling of taking refuge in the doing of the practice. You know, that the what the Buddha taught, the teachings of the Buddha, the practices that he taught, this is the Dharma. The word Dharma can refer to those teachings and practices. And so we can take refuge in those, the understanding that we can gain through the reading, the listening, the learning, and the engagement with those practices. So that's some taking refuge in the Dharma. The deeper taking refuge in the Dharma, the word Dharma also means nature. And that's really where that kind of sense of the refuge in the Dharma is the refuge in the nature of experience. That the nature of experience is impermanent and unreliable. Impermanent, unreliable, and not self. But that is, we can take refuge in that. It's counterintuitive that we can take refuge in the understanding of impermanent, unreliable, and not so. But that's where the alignment comes in, because that is the nature of experience. And fighting that, acting as if that weren't the case, there's a lot of suffering with that. A lot of suffering. And so that alignment with that truth is a refuge. And we'll fight it. You know, we may drop into that feeling of that alignment every now and then. And it's interesting when that happens, because it feels so clear, so obvious. And there's so much relief. And then the mind gets confused again and goes off looking for some place to find some stability. So it's a process. The process, we go back to refuge in the practices and the teachings that will support us, that can support us when we find ourselves caught in that suffering. And then the third, the refuge in the Sangha. This is the Sangha refers to the community of monastics, but it more deeply refers to those beings who have followed the teachings to realization, to some depth of realization. Those beings, those people who have had some understanding of the teachings and can support us, can help us, guide us. So the Sangha, I see as the refuge in the Sangha is, you know, that we have some support. We have some support to help us to follow this path. It's not an easy path to follow. I see this on retreat a lot, the way this feels as a refuge, that the sense of struggling while I'm practicing, like, you know, like, I can't do this anymore. And I'll open my eyes and I'll look around and I'll see people sitting quietly or see somebody moving their arm mindfully. That was a really kind of powerful moment. I opened my eyes and I saw somebody just mindfully shifting their posture. And it was like so clear they were right there. It was inspiring. Just seeing that visual expression of mindfulness was inspiring and supported me. So that we can take support. So that can be a refuge for us. It can support us in continuing. There's an analogy about how these three refuges kind of play together. And the analogy is that the Buddha is kind of like a doctor who diagnoses the illness and says, yeah, there's medicine for you. This illness can be cured. So, you know, so that's representing the possibility of freedom from illness. You know, so the doctor there telling us, yep, it's possible. You can free, that there's a medicine that will cure you. The Dharma is the medicine. And we can't just look at the medicine, talk about the medicine, read about the medicine. We have to take the medicine. So this is the kind of the practice, the teachings, and that medicine will open us to the nature, seeing, aligning with that nature. So there's the doctor that says, yes, it's possible to be cured, and here's the cure. The Dharma is the cure. And then the Sangha is like those that help us when we're too sick to care for ourselves. The Sangha is there to help us care for ourselves. It's like the attendants, the nurses, the attendants that support us in our illness, to help us have the conditions to take the medicine. So as I was reflecting on this earlier, I was taking a walk actually, and I've been really feeling lately the kind of the impermanent nature of the benefits of exercise. So, you know, I walk today and I still have to walk tomorrow. You know, it's not like it gets anywhere that I can like stop exercising. You know, I have osteoporosis. I've really got to exercise. So it's like, okay, you know, like this is the rest of my life. I need to do this every day. And I thought, you know, in terms of refuge, this is more like the kind of prescription the Buddha offered. Every single day, you got to do this. It's not like you got a pill that you take once and you're cured. It's an ongoing commitment. And that's a challenge for us. That's a challenge. And that's where I think the Sangha is really supportive. You know, it's so much easier to get out and walk when there are other people out walking. It's so much easier to be engaged in the practice when we have groups that we can get together with, see like-minded people. So much easier. You know, who we surround ourselves by makes a big difference in terms of what we will do. So that's a support for us. So yeah, it's time to stop. That's our time. But I will say one last thing. And that is, you know, the word refuge sounding like a kind of a seclusion, a kind of a hiding away, you know, that's what we think of when we think of a refuge. That's what comes to my mind, at least the English word refuge. It comes like some kind of a cave or some place where there's not going to be any impingements or something like that. But the refuge that's possible in the practice, I mean, there's times we go off and seclude ourselves. We go to retreat or we sit in silence in a place that's relatively calm and quiet. We use those tools. But the refuge in the Buddhist practice is not about hiding this we can engage in this refuge right in the midst of whatever we're doing, whatever context we're in. We can engage in this question of what is the truth here? How can I align with this truth? Every moment of our lives, every single moment, wherever we are, whatever context we're in, this truth of impermanent, unreliable is available to be seen, to be known, to be aligned with. So we don't have to hide. We don't have to seclude ourselves in our usual ways that we think about secluding ourselves to find this refuge. It's possible, even in the midst of whatever we're doing in our daily lives, to connect and connect with that awareness, that awake, that capacity is there too in every moment. The capacity is always there. The capacity is always there. The truth is always there. It's really about taking that step, engaging. It is an everyday, every moment act of going for refuge. That's the phrase in the chant that we do when we take refuge. I go for refuge. It's an activity. It's a walking. It's a doing. So that's probably enough.